it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn, they got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible study. This week has been a controversial subject week, I think. Pretty much controversial because of the contents we've gone over. All week long has been controversial. And I guess we'll continue on until tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday, is it not? Tomorrow's Friday. You know, there's always that discussion of whether or not there's a heaven or hell. People believe in heaven because it's so nice to be there. They can't believe there's a hell because it's not a good place to be. So they just, well, I don't believe in hell. And I guess they would think that that's going to make it just disappear if they don't believe in it. Wow. How can you not believe in a hell when you got so much evil that's out there? Oh, Tom, you look at all the bad things. I look at the realistic things. And they're starting to come out, the truth about where the children are going, where people are disappearing. Pakistan, they're saying now that, bringing out in public, that they end up on the dinner table. It's going to get ugly, family, but they have to tell you what they're doing and going to do before they do it. And it's starting to come out about what's really going on. How can you not believe that there's a hell with all the evil that's happening? And you got a loving God. How's he going to let all this evil go unpunished? Death for these people are the fallen angels, the entities that do this, and the folks that follow them. Death is a reward. you know, because it's all being saved up, mainly for those that hadn't come across to have opportunity to repent. God's patience is unbelievable for us humans. And we'll dedicate the broadcast. And today, tonight, we'll see how far we get. I want to finish up. I'd like to on hell is real. Is hell real? Does God really send people there? And about being saved, born again, a solution of such. That's where all this is headed. Everything is headed. Right now, y'all are ahead of the ball game, in my opinion. Because everybody else is worried about Ebola, worried about elections, worried about, I don't know, income taxes or something, the worldwide financial threat, reset, this, that, or the other, and everybody's making a dollar and a mint off of people's fear, offering no solutions, but a lot of fear. Well, it's all going to come to a screeching halt when the supernatural reveals its ugly head. And then the evil is going to come to a screeching halt when Jesus Christ comes back to cut off its head. He takes Jerusalem back. The supernatural is out there. We're seeing remnants of it as we go along and increasing on a regular basis, it seems. Wait till it comes out in full public view. Then what? You won't have to be able to stand on the sidewalk to sell handouts on spiritual warfare instead of umbrellas if it's raining. Handouts on spiritual warfare on what to do to fight these entities if you're still here. It's coming. So, let's talk about hell tonight. Not a pleasant subject, is it? But the idea of talking about it is how to stay out of it. I see that as very important, and so many are heading in that direction because the churches are having lukewarm ministries, placating, and having haunted houses on our Halloween night at a lot of churches today. A lot of bobbing apples, popcorn molasses balls or something or another, I don't know what. Any participation in the Halloween is participation in a Luciferian ritual. Amazing, isn't it, how it's so much of our core education, core rituals, raised upon it. So much that we say, well, what's the big deal? Love those molasses popcorn balls. Kind of hard on the teeth. Bobbin apples. Bags of candy. Haunted houses. One girl's heart stopped because they had a haunted house like 2-3 days ago. She died. I think that a lot's going to happen between now and the 31st of October. That veil, that portal is opening very wide. A lot of sacrifices have been going on. Financial reset. Something's coming. Just be prepared. Lord, tonight we pray. We come before you, Father, in prayer again tonight. Lord, we dedicate the Bible study. We dedicate a broadcast, Father, to your services. Lord, we call upon you, Lord, to bless us with your Holy Spirit. Guide us tonight in this study. Clear our minds. Father, help us focus on what's real, what's true. Father, to use this knowledge, use what we learn, Father, to help others, to lead them in the right path. Father, to keep us strong with the full armor of God around us and upon us. And Father, we pray for our brethren, our family members. And Father, we do see some of us see changes in those local, Father, in those family members close by, that Lord, we do see some changes going on. But Father, we pray that you give us discernment and wisdom to see through the deceptions that are used to guide us away from the truth. And Father, you'll bring those deceptions out that we'll see them clearly. To give us words to speak in the time that we witness to others. And Father, give us strength through our trials and temptations that you'll guide us away and not give us more than we can handle. Father, we pray for an awakening. Lord, we see it slipping away at the highest level. And Father, we do pray for this nation, that people will wake up. The Holy Spirit will wake those up that are sleeping and bring the congregations to their face, to their feet. And the Word of God to the pulpits. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Truth has become the new hate speech. They're now focusing on the pulpits. It comes right down to Romans 13. How long have we been saying this? Those of us that's been talking about it. All government is ordained by God. All government is ordained by God. Even those that are oppressive. Sometimes the oppressive governments are put upon the people because the people were disobedient or invited the secret societies or the occultic government to take over, didn't do anything about it, therefore God will put them under subjugation. Israel's got a lot to say about that for generations upon generations. America, certainly. We're based on a deistic background. We're told that it's deistic, but it's theistic, but it's not. It's deistic. In other words, our signers of independence were deists. They weren't theists. That's difficult. Peter Piper picked a peg. Anyway, so they were deists. They were Freemasons to placate the American public all the way up till now, and they're going strong. The Constitution was brought to us by the Jesuits, the Illuminati, to placate us. Never meant to be carried out, but meant to be a facade. Truth now is a new hate speech. And you know that during the times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. All governments ordained by God. Until the government causes you to sin against God, then you rebel. That means refuse to do it. They don't tell you that part. And you have theologians like Chuck Baldwin and others that say armed revolution. Rick Joyner saying, praying for a military. What do you think a military takeover the U.S. government is going to install, going to happen? It's going to cause death. It didn't work in 1700s and won't work again. Because all we're doing is changing the pot, putting the kettle in there. So it's about praying against the government. It's about praying. It's about refusing to, like it's going on today, to marry homosexuals if you're a minister. Well, I can't do that because that's going against God. Here's my point. They're making them do it. Either do it or pay a fine $1,000 a day. There's going to come a time that won't be that. It'll be either do it or off comes your head. You see, little by little, they're sneaking up, pushing the envelope, causing you to sin and it's the government doing it. And revolution, armed revolution, is not the answer. It's not going to happen. And when it does happen, yeah, they're just putting another evil government in, pretending to be good. That's coming. That's why they're showing and acknowledging all the evil in the government now. They want you to see it. So when they have a replacement over some kind, they just put another one back in, pretending to be good, but it won't be. The only good one, the only one you can trust, is after Armageddon, and that's Jesus. That's it. Don't matter what happens between now and then, don't matter what anybody says, it don't matter. It's the real first seal, the real Armageddon, and the real Jesus. All this other is just fear-mongering, yada, yada, yada. Even if there's a war coming, it won't be the real one. But among all this, hell is real. And it's the ending place for those that rejected Jesus Christ, rejected the teaching, rejected the Word of God. And what is the Word of God? King James Bible. Boy, they hate that Bible. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Been over this so many times, I've probably got it memorized. As many of you have. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. People just think that's just words. No, that's what's going to happen. God don't forget things. How does he do that? I don't know. God knows. Everyone's going to exist eternally, either in heaven or hell. It's eternal. Once you're born, you're eternal from then on till you die. Then you're still eternal. Daniel 12, verse 2 and 3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, as the bodies. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Those that are wise, in the word of God, in other words, will shine as brightness of the firmament, and those that turn many, that lead others to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Go to Matthew, I'll try to be slow tonight, so I know if people take down these verses, 25 to 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. How do you mistake that? And these... And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Everlasting punishment. But the righteous into life eternal. That's solid. Matthew 25, 46. 25, 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He's not messing around. He's not pretending. He's not just giving you idle threats or whatever. God's telling you, don't. Here's what you got to do. If you don't, here's what's going to happen. John 5:28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all they are in the graves shall hear his voice. It's all consistent. in the grave means their bodies, not their souls. Revelation 20, 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. It tells you right there. Whosoever were not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. People look at it differently. They say, well, why would a loving God send someone to hell to be tormented and burned for eternity? Well, then what about the ones that's innocent that vengeance is called for? There's no punishment for those that's wicked, that did evil to the good. Can't have it both ways. Everyone has only one life in which to determine their destiny. So if I come up with a belief or one accepted belief that I come back in another life, does that make it so? Then what did Jesus come down here for? And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Well, I don't like that. I'm going to go to a Hebrew place, I'm going to go to a Hindu place and start believing what they believe. Maybe that'll change everything. I can just do what I want to do and come back as a, I don't know, something. Maybe a lion. Rawr. Or maybe a king. I'll come back as a king. I lived before, you know. And they always tell you, I lived before. I was a king. I was a prince. I was a landowner or something. And I have this memory. The memories are false impressions given to the people that were not protected. I got to think another day that these folks that are adamant about I saw God or God came to me and told me all this stuff and this, that, and the other, and it's not scriptural, and they're just really determined to get you to believe it, that what they're telling you, in my opinion, is they've seen a spirit that they have believed was God, or was an angel, but not of God. That they did see something supernatural. And they've been fooled. And the determining factor is it scriptural? That's how you can determine it, whether or not. Heaven or hell is determined by whether a person believes in Christ alone to save them. John, there you go, 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So see, when you say the death, second death, that's the same thing as not seeing life. So they try to make annihilation out of shall not see life. That means, oh, they die, they just go away. But the Bible's clear about what it says. Not a very popular subject. People don't like to talk about this, but it's what they're going to face. Yet they go to church. They study the Bible, but selective study. Now, key passages about hell is that hell was designed originally for Satan and his demons. Now, we touched upon that a little while ago. Matthew 25:41. Then shall ye say unto them, also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And then, of course, Revelation 20, verse 10, we touched upon that, but Revelation 20:10 is just another additional to the what I talked about a little while ago. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, we could talk about the love of God all night long. We know that. But nobody's talking about how to stay out of hell. The love of God, for those that receive Jesus Christ, but the torment of hell, for those who reject him. So, what people are not teaching, what priests are not teaching, oh, that was awkward, is how to stay out of hell, how to receive the love of God. Because you won't receive it if you're disobedient. And how are we disobedient? And we're not being told that. Hell is conscious torment. If you go to Revelation, well, actually, 2010, yeah. You know, hell is also punished the sin of those who reject Christ. Go to Matthew 13, 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity. If you read before that, he answered and said unto them in Matthew 13:37, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Matthew is explaining the parable. Matthew 13:38. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now watch this. You're Jonathan Click, and these guys are teaching that the tares are the Nephilim. The tares are the hybrids of a different DNA. But that's not what it is in the Bible. Oh, they're deceptive. The tares are those that reject Jesus. They're not telling people that. The tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. That's Armageddon. And then the eternity begins at Gog and Magog 1,000 years after Armageddon. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, as Jesus. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. See, that's where they get the idea that he removes the evil first. See, now the New Age takes that and runs with it. That they're going to remove the wicked first. I've heard this from Tribe of Dan people before. And what they've done is switch this around. Because what they're saying with the New Age, Christian identity and what have you, is that when they're removed, it's those that have accepted Jesus Christ are going by the law or the scriptures and not the universal notion of the widening that they talk about today. So you that's considered to be born again, you're the evil, is how they've turned it all around. That homosexuality is okay. That there's a wideness in God's love. Well, no, there's not a wideness. It's narrow. Because you got to follow the Ten Commandments. Become born again. He helps you follow those Ten Commandments. But they've reversed it all. So they're preparing for the rapture. If the rapture happens, oh, those bad guys were taken out, put on another planet. That's what the New Age is claiming. Oh, this thing has gotten complicated. They're setting up for it. So at Armageddon, that's when the Son of Man will send forth his angels, gather the wicked out of the kingdom, cast them in the furnace of fire. There they'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the son of the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to the treasure hidden in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hides, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he had, and buys that field. And the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking godly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. It goes to talk about heaven. So shall the end of the world. The angels have come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and cast them in the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In other words, they'll gather those alive that were evil at the Armageddon and they'll go into eternal damnation. End of the 1,000 years will be the great white throne judgment. They'll be pulled out of the torment just long enough to be judged for eternity, shown what they did wrong, and sent back. Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. I covered that one already, didn't I? And 21 verse 8, Revelation 20 verse 21 verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And it tells you right there. And you know, hell is also conscious torment. Matthew 13:50, furnace of fire, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Mark 9:48, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Revelation 14:10, he will be tormented with fire and brimstone. Can you imagine talking about this on a pulpit some Sunday morning? How long do you think you'd have a job before a Freemason member would be up there saying, "Preacher, you can't be talking about this stuff now." Instead of doing opposite, the congregation saying, "We're not going to use these corrupted Bibles. We want the King James." They've reversed it. Keeps the preacher in check from preaching the truth by various means. It's all reversed. You notice that? Revelation 14:11. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark in his name. It's toward the end of the days. You won't be tormented just during the sunlight hours. And they say, "Well, I'm glad the sun went down. Let's get some rest and get tormented some more tomorrow." Family, it's continuous. I don't think people really think about this, how serious this really is. The more I talk about it, the more serious I see what's happening. Revelation 20, verse 14, "And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." That's clear. Now you have different views of hell. That's erroneous. You have what's called the second chance view. After death, there's still a way to escape hell. That's universalism. Hebrews 9:27 is appointed unto men once to die. After that, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Which brings me to the actual theology of universalism. Swedenborg. Swedenborg, 18th century. Theologian, philosopher, whatever you want to call him. Also known as a man who spoke with angels. In between the Greek mythology and the late 20th century, they were considered angels. Because Swedenborg, the man who spoke with angels, said all they do is lie. Care must be taken that anything comes out of their mouth is a lie. He warns people about them. Although he himself created a false theology called universalism. He warns us about them. Ellen G. White talked to two from Jupiter. They always go to a cave. Joseph Smith, Muhammad the prophet. You know, they always see him in a cave somewhere. You know. They got names too. El Moria, Saint Germain. They all have assignments. Fallen angels. Universalism is all are eternally saved. But John 3:16, 3:36, it denies the truth of salvation through Christ. That means that a person decides to either trust in Christ or else they reject Christ and go to hell. There's no mincing words. Another erroneous view of hell is annihilationism. Man, if it's got an ism, it's wrong. It don't matter what kind of ism it is. Rheumatism, annihilationism, universalism. It's not good. All the isms are bad. Hell means a person dies like an animal, ceases to exist. What I've said so far, it actually denies the resurrection of the unsaved. John 5:28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and it won't be wakey-wakey. This denies the conscious torment I mentioned above already before. Now, they have objections to the biblical view of hell. That, first of all, a loving God would not send people to a horrible hell. We talked about that yesterday. But God is just, Romans 2:11. I put this little study together a long time ago that I didn't know when I'd ever use it. Well, I guess I just answered my question. Romans 2:11. For there is no respect of persons with God. What that means is, he looks at all of us as the same. But you see, God has provided us the way of salvation to all. I've already mentioned John 3:16 and 17. And add to it 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but to him which died for them and rose again. In 1 Timothy 2. First Timothy 2:6, to be exact, who gave himself as a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. And then 1 Timothy 4, verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. It is consistent throughout, is it not? How about Titus 2, verse 11? For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. And then 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's your repentance again. You know, even those who've not heard of Christ are accountable for God's revelation in nature. Isn't that contrary to what Billy Graham said to Robert Schuller, that you don't have to know the name of Jesus? Romans 1:20. So they all started coming out about the 1990s. That's when they figured the generations were ready, slowly, the New Age theology. And of course, Tori Osteen really came out with it with a sledgehammer. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Whew, that's hot. God's going to seek those who seek him. Matthew 7:7. Don't say I didn't give you all scripture tonight now. Matthew 7, verse 7. Oh, yeah. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Oh, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. And therefore, God doesn't send people to hell. They choose it. They kind of leave that out a little bit. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Romans 1:21. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And finally, for that part, who changed the truth of God into a lie, Romans 1:25, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Tells you right there. God don't send us, we send ourselves by our choices we make. And you know, they say that hell is too severe a punishment for a man's sin. Well, Lord, I just told a little white lie. It wasn't like it's a big one. Come on now, you know, got a little sense of humor. Well, I don't think he does. I think that's a cop-out. As obedient children, not fashioned yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. 1 Peter 1:14 and 1:15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Sometimes I still let a little word slip out of my mouth every now and then. Got to be careful about that. Sin is willful opposition to God, our Creator. Do you think that's going on today? That's a trick question. Of course it is. And increasing exponentially because that veil is thinning. Romans 1:18-32. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Romans 1:22-23. And changed the glory of the incorruptible of God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Guess what that is? Homosexuality. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, that really gets sticky, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one another toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. M-E-E-T. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And it goes into being filled with all unrighteousness in Romans 1:29, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. See, our sin does merit hell, according to the Bible. Romans 1:21. Now, we don't like to admit that, do we? Not at all. Romans 2:5-6. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judge them which do such things, that does the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of the goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? There's that word repentance again. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. In other words, when you're in front of God, everything you've done wrong, if you're not born again, will be brought to you. Then he'll remind you from the day you were born what you did wrong and didn't repentance about. Romans 2:6. Who were rendered to every man according to his deeds. to them by patient continuance, as well as doing seed for glory and honor, immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey in righteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So no respect of persons with God. That's clear. We're all the same. And what's unfair and amazing is that Christ died for our sin and freely offers salvation to all. As I read to you in Romans, I think, 2:4. About repentance. In Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and laid upon them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then you got Romans 4, verse 7 and 8. Man, it's all through there. Saying, blessed are they that iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And then finally, 5, verse 8 and 9. Romans 5, 8 and 9. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, yet shall be saved from wrath through him. Saved from wrath. So why would you be here for the wrath of God in the tribulations? If he says here, he's going to save you from wrath. He won't be. You know, there's biblical terms describing where the dead are really located. And it's really confusing sometimes, and people that are calling themselves theologians, and they start popping these names at you. Sheol, S-H-E-O-L. It's a Hebrew term. And that's to describe the grave or death. Does not refer to hell specifically. And Hades. It's also a Greek term that usually refers to hell and a place of torment. Like in Luke, Luke there, 10, I believe it is, 10:15, we'll go. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. Hades. And Luke 16:23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. That's so right there tells you Abraham's bosom is equal, or not equal, but in line with hell at that time. But there's a gulf between the two. When you go to Luke 16:26, it says, and besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which could pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us which could come from thence. So this rich man was calling to Lazarus to give him some water. He could see him. Well, then you know they're not in heaven. Because hell's not in heaven. So that means before Jesus Christ had died and said it's finished, Abraham's bosom contained the Old Testament prophets, which could be seen by those in torment across a great gulf in the somewhere in the earth, in another dimension or whatever. So when Jesus died on the cross, his mission was fulfilled. And then, between his death and the 3 days he was gone, before he saw the disciples after, he was there in paradise, preaching to the Old Testament saints to vacate that part of paradise. So the Old Testament saints throughout the Old Testament that had died were then lifted out. And hence, Abraham's bosom was moved to heaven. Hell remained, is there now. And they'll be there until the end of Gog and Magog, the 1,000 years, and the great white throne judgment. This isn't being taught. Masons are taught that everybody goes through the great white throne judgment. What gets you through it is all the good deeds you've done. No, the great white throne judgment are for those that already are doomed, and your good deeds then count for a position of hell of sort, because then your good works are looked at. But then you're already separated in the second death from God. So, for example, Scripture does tell us of differing degrees of torment in hell. The greater the wickedness, the greater it will be. Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. I already talked about that. We'll do it again. Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face and the earth fled away, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. So it opens up the book of life, and the name's not in it, to show them. In Revelation 20:13, and the sea gave up the dead, the bodies, which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead. That tells you right there that hell delivered up the dead. Those were torment, lifted them out, which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in lake of fire, and this is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. That's clear as a bell. And there's differing rewards in heaven, depending on the one's degree of submission to the work of God's Spirit in building Christ's likeness. 1 Corinthians 3:12-15. Man, this hasn't been taught today. Doggone it. First Corinthians 3:12-15. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That means he is giving you opportunities that you rejected, but you were born again. You were saved, but you didn't do anything with it. Your work is burned by fire, but you are in heaven. See, if God imposed no torment in hell, you know that the residents there in hell would so vex one another to an unthinkable degree. Who told us about this? My man Jeremiah did, that's who. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, one purpose of the torment is to restrain the expression of evil. Some need to be restrained more than others. It's just as impossible from a human perspective to imagine how awful the torment in hell would be, how anyone could possibly deserve that kind of punishment. It's equally impossible to imagine how wonderful heaven could be and how anyone could possibly deserve the blessings. 1 Corinthians 2:9. And the time has amazingly, I can't believe it's 9 o'clock already. What happened? 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it's written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But there are those that have the reward now. They won't get that reward in heaven. Nobody dies without having the clear and understood opportunity to receive, reject God's offer of forgiveness, and that for sin of life with him. And I tend to think, my opinion is, 2 or 3 days before they go, I think that God opens up that heaven or opens up hell to let them know where they're headed. He may just give them the opportunity. So we can't say so forth and so on went to hell. We don't know what they did in the last moments of their life. So you got Sheol, Hebrew, grave or death. Hades, a Greek term that refers to hell, a place of torment. Gehenna, G-E-H-E-N-N-A. Sounds like somebody's name, don't it? Gehenna is a Greek term that's borrowed from literal burning dump near Jerusalem. And that always refers to hell, a place of torment. Matthew 5:30. I'm on a backstretch here now. Matthew 5:30. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not they that whole body should be cast into hell. In 23:33. Man, all this is rough. I tell you, no wonder they don't preach it. But they got to, because they're not doing it, but they got to let people know what's coming. Oh, you're so negative. That's what I... Ye serpents, ye generations of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Gehenna. It's clear. How come there's any question? Anyway, the lake of fire is the final abode of unbelievers after they are resurrected. Revelation 20:14-15. We've covered that. Abraham's bosom. Luke 16:22. A place of eternal comfort, which was transferred to heaven. Paradise, Luke 23:43, a place of eternal comfort. With the Lord, a key phrase describes where church age believers are after death, Philippians 1:23. For I am in the strait betwixt two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with those in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And 2 Corinthians 5:8. I'll load you down with scripture tonight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. There it is again. And don't say go sleep. And you have a new heavens and a new earth where believers will be after they are resurrected. Revelation 20, verse 4 to 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon the foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's clear. John MacArthur says it's okay to take the mark of the beast. And that your scripture here says it's not. I can stay with the scripture. Thank you. Revelation 20, verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God, of Christ, shall reign with him 1,000 years. When 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And that comes 28, Revelation 20, verse 8, I meant. And shall go out to see the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of them which is the sand of the sea. Talks about the battle of Gog and Magog at the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign. You see, that period of time for 1,000 years after Armageddon, those that ran to the hills for protection, well, they're mortal, will remain mortal for that 1,000 years, will reproduce to bring back, replenish the earth once again. And those that went through the fire, those that went through the period now that are saints then, after the marriage supper of the Lamb, at the judgment seat of Christ, will return with Jesus to reign that 1,000 years. Supernaturally, they'll be. And Jesus will rule with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. Well, see, they will not have the opportunity of having Satan like we have now in the seven areas I've talked about. Satan will not be tempting and carrying on and doing what he's doing. He'll be chained. He'll be taken away. So a new core education will be developed without Satan. So, to make sure that they have made their choice, Satan will be released at the end of the 1,000 years to then go out and tempt them once again because they've never had that opportunity themselves for that 1,000 years to be tempted. And apparently some take it because of the battle of Gog and Magog. That's why Satan's not thrown in the lake of fire, to give the others the opportunity to make that choice like Adam and Eve. To make that choice like humans have been given, accept evil or accept good, to be righteous or not being righteous. Well, it'll be nothing but righteousness during that 1,000 years. Individuals will sin because they'll have whatever it, just because they are mortal, but it won't be put in their face like it is today. So that's why Satan is released at the end of 1,000 years to then start doing it again so they'll have the opportunity. And then Revelation 21 and 1 to 4. Yeah. And I saw a new heaven and then a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Wow. A new heaven, new earth. So when he gets rid of the old heaven, the old earth, that means that everybody is supernatural. Where is it going to put you? That means you'll be supernatural and you won't require the oxygen. You won't require the what we have today to sustain us in our physical life. You'll be supernatural. And I saw John, the holy city, New Jerusalem. America is not the New Jerusalem. Remember what he says, what Rick Joyner says in his call for a military takeover? America is not the New Jerusalem. Where did he get that from? Oh, boy, these people are sneaky. And I saw, John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. What they're going to do? They're going to have a fake UFO come down with Sanand Emanuel coming out of it. That's what they're going to do with this thing right here. The New Jerusalem is some silly UFO nonsense called disclosure. Y'all be ready for it. But you didn't expect me to tell you that, did you? And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." That matches another scripture I've heard before. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne, behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful." So our curiosity about the abode of the dead is not completely satisfied by biblical terms or verses. What we do know is that either eternal torment in hell or eternal joy in heaven awaits all people after death, based on whether they trust in Christ's payment for our sin or reject Christ. We'll continue tomorrow. And I have some more things for you. Talk about the crowns. I haven't talked about those. And we went over about 12 minutes, but I wanted to complete that. I couldn't just stop on that one. Well, wow. I learned some stuff myself tonight. And added to what I was going to talk about. And I'll head to it tomorrow, too. I see some things I got to talk about. Oh, boy. Well, family, I appreciate y'all sticking around. And I use these. I put them out. I'm going to put them out this Friday, I think, back on my Facebook and distribution list, and send them out to those that want to hear it. Family, y'all have a good night. We're going to close, and then we'll see y'all tomorrow. Remind you that John Kirkler is playing our broadcast and our website, Bible study, excuse me. And Herkaler. He has sponsors up there in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And he's putting up another network, I understand, another tower. Even though I understand that some of the sponsors are going out of business, he's still hanging in there. I think it's a part of what's going on today everywhere. John Kirkler at highpointradio.net. Visit my website, watchmenforjesus.com, and my Facebook, Watchmen for Jesus. Participate. Any questions, send me emails or whatever, and I'll answer what I can. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Father, we thank you for the wisdom you give us, the discernment. Father, for your holy word. And Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died for our sins, we learned tonight, Father, to help us to preach the word to others, to witness to others about this separation of heaven and hell, and the truth to be let out. Father, to cover over, to override this false theology that's being taught today. And Father, to override all these isms that's being put out, that false theology. That, Father, the truth will come to people. We pray for many more Bible studies and, Father, for more revelations of the Word through the Holy Bible and the King James. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, family, I want to close now, and in a traditional way. Sometimes I throw things out, a different song, but I'm going to close in the traditional way. Traditional way. And then we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And we get more into the supernatural on the end of the Friday. It's been a fast week and a fast... This Bible study went quick. For me, anyway. I don't know. I looked up. It was 9 o'clock. Whoa. I don't know where I went to. Anyway, thank you all for coming by. And if you think of any ways for me to improve these Bible studies or broadcasts, let me know. Y'all have a good night and God bless. This is your watchman, signing off. Whoa. And as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.